the master seed. That's what Jesus mentioned, if your faith is, you can have the faith as big as a master seed. You can move the mountain from here to there. And master seed is the smallest seed among all the vegetables. So master seed actually represents the truth of the kingdom of God, the seed. But when the master seed grows like a tree, then it becomes abnormal. So that's here, chapter 13, verse 32. Matthew chapter 13, verse 32. Okay. And which indeed is the least of the seed, but when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and become a tree. So let the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. So it becomes abnormal, like a tree. And the birds come. If you study different kind of commentary, a lot of them explain the birds is good. But almost only our church explain the birds as a Satan. And raised in its branch. So it's very huge, it's very big. But the birds, the Satan is hidden inside. Okay. From the Christianity history, do you know which branch is a huge branch? Roman Catholics. Yeah. I think Roman Catholics has most of the members. In the whole world. But Roman Catholic has so many church members, it doesn't not necessarily represent it's from God. Actually, it is the work of Satan. Birth is inside. How can we say so? Let us think about a few things. The first, Roman Catholic claim that the Pope can represent Jesus. And Pope has authority to change the Bible. And Pope has no mistake. Can you accept this? Infallible. No mistake. So some Christians argue with them because Catholics proclaim that who was the first pope? Do you know? According to Catholic, who was the first pope? Peter, yes. And pope has no mistake. Are you sure? Did Peter commit any mistake? How do you know? How do you know Peter commit any mistake? Which one? Peter, according to the Galatians mentioned, Paul publicly rebuked him concerning his attitude towards the Gentile. He didn't commit mistake. How can say Paul never commit mistake? As the current Paul is far more spiritual than the Peter, the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus Christ. And the Catholic can change the Bible. If you read the Catholic Bible, they don't have the second commandment. They did not have second commandment. I think they use the 10 commandment or 9 commandment. They separate into two parts. And they delete the second commandment. What is the second commandment? Do not worship the idol. How come they delete the second commandment? Because in Catholic, so many idols. If you have the opportunity to visit the Catholic that kind of chapel, very similar to the traditional Oriental worship the idol. They burn the incense, they offer the sacrifice, and bow down before the idol. Exactly the same. There was a sister in the States. One day she went back to her mother's house. maternal mother and sleep in a room. She was baptized in our church. She heard that in the corner of the room, something screaming. She was unable to sleep. So she got up and take a look. In the dresser, and she did not find anything. So she lie down and sleep again. I still heard something screaming from that corner. She got up and flipped over, and only she saw some crows. And she lie down again. Still heard something screaming. So lie down, she checked that drawer thoroughly. At the bottom of the drawer, there was a statue of Mary, statue of Paul, because her mother was a very devout Christian. So in the midnight, she brought the statue out, smashed the statue without the consent of her mother, and put into the trash can, and sleep again. She had very good sleep, no screaming anymore. So worshipping the idol itself is not the word, it's not from God. Yes, we have to worship Jesus as God, but if you make a statue of Jesus and worship this statue, then you are worshipping the idol. The Bible is the same. The words inside the Bible is the words of God, but the Bible itself cannot protect you, do you know? Oh, you bring the Bible, so the gangster cannot approach me. Then you treat Bible as, the Bible is, it become an idol. The same thing, the cross. Jesus was crucified, the cross. But if you wear a cross for a decoration, it's good. But if you wear a cross to protect you, then you idolize the cross. And then what exactly did the Catholic Church is doing? And the Catholic Church claimed that when you pray, you have to pray to Mary. And Mary will order Jesus Christ to fulfill your prayer. So they try to elevate the status of Mary above average, even high above Jesus Christ. That's not right. You can never find anywhere say so. In the first miracle performed by Jesus in the wedding banquet, Mary discovered there was no wine, and she approached Jesus and said, "There is no wine." What did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, "Mom, let me do it"? Did Jesus say, "Do so"? No, Jesus said, "Woman, my oil has not come yet." Somebody look at this. How come Jesus told his mother, "Woman"? Because when he speak, in that moment, he was standing on the point. He is the God, authority of God. So you are nothing but a woman. You cannot command me to do anything. Of course, Jesus was very fulfilled with the filial duty very much, right? So it's wrong. Catholic Church is totally wrong. And a lot, if you study the history of Catholic Church, Catholic killed a lot of people. Do you know who embarked the religion reformation in the 6th or 15th century? Martin Luther, right? Catholic Church tried to kill him. So later on he escaped, but he was very successful. A lot of practice is actually not coming from the Bible. For example, nowadays we worship, a lot of Christians worship Sunday. Who changed the Sabbath into Sunday? Catholic Church. Even the question and answer published in the early 1916 or 1917, the doctrine question and answer published by Catholic Church, they openly admit, which day is the Sabbath? The seventh day is the Sabbath, the Saturday. How come we worship Sunday? Because in 340 something, the 4th century, they have a meeting and they formally change into Sunday worship. who can change the Bible? If you read the book of Revelation, if anybody subtract or add anything from the Bible, he will be deleted from the book of life. Oh, so it's big, the ritual to have mass, the ritual to worship God looks religious, but in reality, inside there is no life. Oh, the birds hidden in the big tree. Oh, so this is the third parable. Oh. And start from 19th century and beginning of 20th century, they have a movement, ecumenical movement, right? So among the Christian, they try to unite it together. In the first stage, they try to do some of the charity work, just like YMCA, YWCA, right? They unite every different denomination, try to do the charity work. Only the Catholic Church refused to join. Why? Because the Catholic Church say, I am the only true church. If you want to unite together, means come back. And the Protestant Church, it said, no way. We already separate from you. How can we come back? Oh, so we TJC, we consider we are the only one true church. Catholic Church say, I am the only one because I come from Peter for 2,000 years. So if you want to join together, it's okay. Come back to me. That's the mentality they have. But it's a big tree and the birds hidden inside. Okay. And we come into the fourth parable. The fourth parable is a parable of leaven. Leaven. Leaven represents sin and heresy. Jesus warned the people in that generation, you have to be aware by the leaven of the Pharisees. He was talking about two things. The wrong teaching of the Pharisees and the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. So even though the heaven, verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parable. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of the meal till it all was all leavened. And this represents the Protestant Church, the new religion. Just like leaven expand very fast. So the new religion, Protestant Church, expand very fast. But inside the church contain the leaven, wrong teaching, and also contain the sin. So Protestant Church, if you compare the moral standard, what they preach, Catholic Church is more conservative than the Protestant Church. For example, Catholic Church until nowadays still against homosexual. Catholic Church forbid abortion. But the Protestant Church, their stance it seems not so strong. So the Protestant Church emphasizes on the love of Jesus Christ. Actually, use the love of Jesus Christ as an excuse to live in sin. So leaven inside. The leaven inside. There was a pastor in Los Angeles, in the African American church. That's happened about 4 years ago. The pastor one day preached homosexual is sin. About 4 months later, the pastor was forced to resign. How come? Because inside the church, many homosexuals. if the pastor did not resign, they are going to lose the members. So they don't need to resign. So these kind of things happen almost in every churches. And the leaven inside, the sin inside. When El Monte Church purchased the Bowen Park, a chapel, before the chapel hand over to us, they requested to have a potluck with us. So some of the members went there, and I went there too, to have a potluck with them. I just sit in front of the pastor of that church. Out of curiosity, I asked him, what is the main function of this chapel in this community? And he told me, the chapel mainly is for the service of homosexual in that area, for homosexual. And I tried to reason with him, homosexual is wrong. But he continued to quote a lot of verse and try to prove homosexual is right. I looked carefully. He tried to interpret the Bible to fit the lifestyle of a homosexual. Instead of asking the homosexual to change themselves to fit into the teaching of the Bible. So nowadays, among the Christianity, really, a lot of people try to interpret the Bible to fit into their needs. So the road is very wide open. The gate wide open, the road is very easy. But it should be the narrow gate. We change ourselves to fit into the teaching of the Bible. And eventually I asked him a question. I say, this is very personal, you don't have to answer. Are you a homosexual? He think about it. He said, yes, I'm a homosexual. And he was a pastor of the church. So we understand the Protestant church is a leaven inside, sin hidden inside. And then the wrong still has some wrong teaching hidden inside. In the book of John, you can see a lot of the topic talking about Godhead. Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the, I think in the first or second century, they have a meeting, and they formally decided anyone who don't believe Trinity will become heresy. So nowadays, TJC been categorized into a church belong to heresy, a cult, because we don't believe Trinity. And whether the only one God or Trinity inside, it's very profound. It takes time to discuss. But the conclusion is different. Those who believe in Trinity, they baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those who believe in only one God, they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. The conclusion is different. So if you talk with the true seeker, a lot of true seekers like to talk with you about the Trinity. Don't talk with them about this. You know? Because what? If you talk, you don't know where you are going. Too profound. It's 1,000 years of theological difficult issue. Exactly, you quote the same verse. The verse you quote, the same with the verse he quoted. But different interpretation, and you just argue around, waste of your time. Don't quote up, don't talk about it. But the conclusion is important. Whether you baptize in the name of Son, Holy Spirit, Father, or you baptize in the Jesus Christ. Okay. When we reach the book of Acts, we will study the topic. All the book of Acts, none of the apostles baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No. Only the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, almost all the Protestant church, including Catholic, they baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you ask them a question. Did the apostle do something wrong? Somebody they cannot answer. So a small portion of the Protestant church, they baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Everything all put together. So this is the parable, the fourth parable. The parable of leaven. Okay. The next three parables, the parable of the hidden treasure. Truth is like a treasure. In verse 46, truth is like a hidden treasure, hidden in the ground, or walk by faith, not by sight. You cannot see by your physical eye, but the treasure is inside. Heavenly kingdom is priceless in value, just like Jesus Christ has no outer appearance, has no worldly condition, but the treasure hidden inside Jesus Christ, inside him there is life. Inside him, there is a wisdom, there is a truth, there is a way. Okay. But nobody know. A lot of people don't know it. The same thing today. You look into the TJC. TJC has treasure inside. The complete gospel, the spiritual life, hidden in the TJC. But outwardly, you cannot. Judged by our appearance. You look into the TJC member, not many people are well-known, but nowadays, thank God, it become better. I still can recall one of the two seekers come to the church and attend the service with us, and they told me, look around, where is the doctor? Where is the lawyer? No doctor, no lawyer, they told me. The two seekers did not want to come. But today, the church will come back again. I'm going to say, here is doctor, here is a lawyer. Right? But we are not using this to attract people. It is not something what Bible emphasizes. The reason we attract people in the TJC because the treasure inside, something hidden inside. Until you come in and God open your spiritual eye, all of a sudden you find out, this is the most wonderful place. The kingdom of God is here. So there is a hidden treasure inside. Okay. Shall we read Matthew chapter 13, verse 44? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, the ghost. And sell all that he had and buy the field. So this person knew that the hidden treasure inside the field. So he sold everything in order to buy this field. What does that mean? If you really know the value of the true church, the hidden treasure inside, you are willing to sacrifice everything you have in order you can remain in the TJC. Because this is one body, according to Ephesians chapter 4. So if somebody asks you a question, TJC is one of the true churches in the world. Is that right or wrong? TJC is one of the true churches in the world. Is that right or wrong? Wrong? Right or wrong? Oh, yeah, here you speak very loud, wrong. But when you encounter a lot of your Christian friends, they question you, are you saying TJC is the only one true church in the world? Let me think about it. Because once you answered it, there is a confrontation. But inside our heart, we strongly believe this is the only one true church. Yeah. Uh-huh. I cannot quite follow you. Yeah. Or maybe after dismiss, or we can discuss. Because I cannot follow you. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. The whole paragraph, the whole seven paragraph is talking about the development of the history. of the Christianity history. So the development of Christian history. So superficially you look them like a kingdom of heaven, but in reality that nature has changed already. So in the 1,000 years ago, there is a church. They consider that as a kingdom of heaven. They read the same Bible. Right now we are in the kingdom of God. So they consider themselves as a kingdom of, in the kingdom of heaven. They are in the church. But actually in reality, the kingdom of heaven they consider is already different. It's not a, it changed in nature, it has been changed already. We can discuss more after we dismiss. The next one, I lose my direction. I don't know where am I. Okay. True church, it's only one. It's only one. So we should be have the confidence about this. Now we start the next parable. The parable of the pearl. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So all these two parables are talking the same thing. You are waiting to pay the price, every price you have, in order to purchase a pearl. In 1986, the gospel has been preached into one of the villages in Nigeria. And there was a founder of an independent church. He himself established about six churches and is a Sabbath-keeping church. And through the preaching, he understood that our church had a complete gospel. And later on, he received the Holy Spirit. And he decided to be baptized in our church. Right after he decided to be baptized in our church, we told him one thing. What? Because the church was established by him, so he enjoyed a great authority in the church. During the service time, he himself always had a special seat behind the pulpit and sitting there. He wear a white garment, he has a mustache, and holding a staff. Looking like a Moses. So we are wondering whether he come to the church to worship God or enjoy to be worshipped by the members. So when everybody pray, I don't know whether pray to God or pray to him. So when he decided to be baptized, we give him the most important request. If you want to baptize in TJC, you have to take out your robe, throw out your staff, and come down to sit together with the members. Miraculously, he agreed. So after the baptism, he really mingled with the members, sit there. And some of the members, especially youth people, look him, come down and disrespect him. You're supposed to sit there. How come you come down and beat him? So human being, if you somebody act like a king, you want to worship him. If he act like an ordinary person, you despise the person. And thank God, even though he was under persecution, he remained very faithful in our church. Very faithful. And a few years later, he died. When I visited that church, I went to see his tomb. I really missed this older man, older member. In order to get the kingdom of heaven, that's a human respect, that human honor, no use. I want to force, give up that. Some of the pastors in the United States, they did have a Bible study with us. And eventually they understand Sabbath is right. Sabbath is right. We have to keep the Saturday as a Sabbath day. Then we ask them, since Sabbath is right, if you go back to your local church, start from next week, just announce next service will be the next Saturday instead of Sunday. The pastor think about, say, oh, I cannot do that. Because if I make this announcement, I'm going to lose my job. Oh. You know, Sabbath is right, but he was unable to change the Sabbath because he lose his job. Oh. So the kingdom of heaven is just like a treasure. If you really feel this is so important, you are waiting to sacrifice everything you have in order to get this kingdom of heaven. Oh. I know one of the members. In our church, originally she had a boyfriend. Both of them are the members of other church. And then later on, both of them come to our church, and the boyfriend become a little bit proud. I believe what I believe is right. And this visitor eventually convert to our church. And she insists that this is a true church. And eventually, the boyfriend just left. And they love each other very much, even planning for getting married. But the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. You are willing to sacrifice everything in order to get it. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready? Sacrifice everything, everything, including your life, in order to get this treasure. Are you ready? So this is a narrow path. Narrow path. But the reward is great. Eternal life. The glory in heaven. So we know the value of the salvation. And then every day it is a challenge. Are you waiting to sacrifice something for the love of Jesus Christ? For the treasure you are ready to get in the true church? The last parable. The parable of the dragnet. Chapter 13, verse 47. See, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of very kind. Verse 48, which then it was full, they draw to shore, and they sat down and gather the good into the vessel, but threw the bad away. So the last parable is gathering the net and choose and separate. What does that mean? That means what is going to be done in the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to separate. The good and the bad is going to separate. So this is the last parable. After this parable, then finish. Let me ask you a question. What is the criteria that Jesus is going to separate good from bad? From the book of Matthew, what is the criteria Jesus is going to separate the good from bad in the last judgment? Okay, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus give a lot of indication about the signs of his second coming, right? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus mentioned about three parables which represent three criteria for the final judgment to separate the good from bad. Can you give the answer without looking into the Bible? Then I know how much you understand it. Matthew chapter 25, without looking into the Bible, do you know what the three parables mentioned in Matthew chapter 25? 10 version and... the talent and sheep and goat, right? These are the three criteria of God's judgment. What does them 10 version means? Shall we come back to Matthew chapter come to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Because in that time, their custom, the rich men get married always in the evening. And they have a 10 virgins to accompany them. That is their custom. And five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. So when they wait until the midnight, very sleepy, and the wise virgin knew that the lamp is running out of oil. Even though they were sleepy, they went to purchase extra oil to keep the lamp burning, to shine the light. Another five virgins are very lazy and also considered not very wise. They continue to sleep. And all of a sudden, find the bridegroom come. And everybody shouting, the bridegroom is coming. And the five virgins have the light. The another five virgins don't have the light. And the five virgins who had died were invited into the banquet. Verse 11. Afterwards, the other virgin came also and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. All of them are virgin, but they've been separated into two parts. So when you hear the among the Christianity, there was a saying, once you are saved forever. It's not true. Once you are saved forever. It's not true. You are saved, yes, you come into the kingdom of God, the church. But eventually you are going to face another judgment, separation. And the lamp, the light represent our good behavior. Matthew chapter 5 says, you are the light of the world. You have to shine the good behavior in the world. Shine the glory of God. Somebody look at you and feel God is living in you. God's glory. And how can we have this kind of light in our daily life? You need to have oil. Oil represents what? What does oil represent? Holy Spirit. You need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Once you are filled by the Holy Spirit, naturally, now, you can shine the light of God. Because Holy Spirit will let you bear the fruit according to Galatians chapter 5. Can you force a fruit tree to bear the fruit? Can be a knife and threaten it. You don't bear the fruit? I'm going to cut it off. Just give you a warning. Next year come, still don't bear the fruit. You can never force the fruit to bear the fruit. You give a wolf water and fertilizer, but when the life become mature and naturally you bear the fruit. The same thing. As a Christian, you can never force anybody to bear the fruit. Oh, we have to be joyful because the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joyful. You never pray. Okay, that's joyful. That's smile. Your mouth just imitates smiling. You feel a very sour feeling. I smile all day long already. Your heart is not filled by the Holy Spirit. You keep on smiling. You see the salesperson now, they have through some kind of training. Smile. When it comes to custom, smile. If you don't smile, the custom is going to go. They will smile, but not from happy heart. So when they go back home, very tiresome. Happy. Joy. Where does it come from? The joy. Come from fullness of the Holy Spirit. Once you are filled by the Holy Spirit, when you're walking in the street, nobody look at you, you are smiling. Why you are smiling? Because this is the fruit of my heart. My life is filled with the love of God. So I smile, I'm joyful. I'm joyful because Jesus is inside me. So the lamp, the lamp must fill with oil, and naturally it has to shine the light. Love is the same. If you are forced to love somebody, it's very painful. Oh, there is a truth seeker. So and so, go and take care of the truth seeker. I really don't like it. But since somebody asked me to do that, let me do it. Oh. And you go back home, you start to complain. Oh, so and so forced me to love somebody. You start to complain. But if you really feel by the love of God, you really feel by the love of God, and you will enjoy it, because you will think, this is the most meaningful work, because I do it because I love God. When you fall in love with somebody, don't you think somebody make a phone call, say, buy something for me? Yes, I'll be very happy, okay, and deliver something to the person, right? Because you love. If you really love God, you think, God want me to do this. Yes, I want to do this because I want to please you. You love me so much. So this is a fruit. So light, shine the light. You feel by the Holy Spirit, and naturally you will change. When you feel by the Holy Spirit, you will shine the glory. And the second parable is distribute the talent. The Chinese translation, some give 1,000, some give 2,000, some give 5,000. For the 5,000, they earn another 5,000. How can they earn another 5,000? Work hard. For those who receive 2,000, they work hard, earn another 2,000. For those who only receive 1,000, bury on the ground, don't have to work. The same thing. Those who are very gifted in the church, quite often they work extra hard because they know God gives them gift. If they don't work, God will take away the gift. For those who don't have the gift, you ask them to do something. So and so, preach. I don't have the gift of preaching. A translation. I don't have to give the translation. And then to an usher, I'm afraid of seeing people. And then do the cooking. No, I come to the church to become a Mary, not mother. Clean the toilet. The toilet is too smelly. I never do that. I don't have gift. So you just use every excuse. You come to the church, nothing to do. This is the 1,001. In the final judgment, God opened the book of life. What did you do? Blank and blank. 1,000. Near 1,000. And then God said, okay, the bad servant, go out and then cry outside. So if you don't do the holy work, can you be saved? Very difficult, very difficult. Because the Bible says this is the criteria of judgment. This is the second parable. The third parable is the lamb and the sheep. They were going to separate. How do they separate? They will tell the right side. The right side is brother's side. Because stand on my point of view is brother's side. Stand your point of view is sister's side. The right side, I'll say, when I'm hungry, you give me the food to eat. When I'm thirsty, you give me the water to drink. When I'm naked, you give me the clothes. Even the sheep feel pardoned. When Jesus cried, when did I see you naked? And Jesus said, if you see a brother who is naked, you give the clothes, you do it to me. What does that mean? Today, if you see your beat up brother and sister who are in need, you care about them for the sake of Jesus Christ. You are doing to Jesus Christ. Then you belong to the sheep. If you look into a brother and sister in need, and you purposely try to neglect them because it's bothersome, then it belongs to the what? Goat. Abraham, one day he was sitting in the tent, looking outside, maybe try to raise for a wife. And he saw that three strangers travel outside. It's very easy for Abraham to just change another angle, sit here, look there. That three passengers go by and you turn back, right? Nothing. Right? But when Abraham looked at the three passengers, but he feel, this too hot. Why is it so hot? More than 100 degrees just last week in Texas. More than 100 degrees. Not like the Pacific. So Abraham has sympathized heart. They must be very hungry. So approach them. Invite them to home. Bring the basin for them to wash their feet and kill the lamb to feed them. Then Abraham entertained angel. Oh, they receive, he received blessing. Oh, the same thing, oh, love others. Oh, you belong to lamb. Oh, love yourself, you belong to goat. Oh, so in the final judgment, there are three criteria. Oh, so the last parable, oh, the seventh parable, is to separate good fish and bad fish. What is the criteria? Matthew chapter 25 is the criteria.